of the one that is above every name. At the sound of the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. 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 Hallelujah. 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 You may be seated. We give God thanks for the opportunity to be here. I thank Pastor Kyle. I was thinking about Pastor Kyle recently. My pastor in New York is like a grandfather, and he was really nice to me. But Pastor Kyle has a way of just kind of pushing you around a little bit. I said, he's more like my dad. My old pastor is like my granddad. Everything I do is right with him. With Pastor Kyle, you know, you get corrected and you get rebuked, and you got to be able to take it and not be bitter and see what the Lord will do. I thank you. Before we left, you guys raised an offering. I got like $4,000. And that really helped us. That really, really helped us. We thank you for that. We thank the Lord for it. As a matter of fact, our move cost us about $70,000. To move from here to there, we pull everything from retirement, everything we had, we just lay it on the, just to get there. But we thank the Lord that God is a faithful God. Our God is a faithful God. Somebody believe that with me. Our God is a faithful God. I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for my wife. I thank the Lord for her courage, just her just being there. I tell her we're moving. She said, when? And there we are now in Stouffville, New York. God has been blessing there. I've realized being a pastor has a lot to do with being a pincushion. You have to be able to be the target and get every just every dot, just pierce right through you and be able to take it and love everybody. Amen. I thank the Lord for the grace that he's given us. Somebody sent Russo to camp. I couldn't afford it. Thank you for doing that. You get to be poor, you become a pastor. The work is actually going very well. Before we went there, the news was that they had about 6 people left in the place. And we consistently have about 60 people, and more people are coming. We have baptized a few. As a matter of fact, today somebody is being baptized while we're not here. And God has baptized. Somebody remember Giselle, young girl from the military. She's dating a young man in Virginia. And they came to visit us. She brought the young man. I gave him a Bible study. I baptized him the next day. The Lord filled him with the Holy Ghost. God is awesome. He's working. If you don't mind turning your Bible with me, in the book of Malachi, it seems like this was ordained of God for me to preach. I thank you. Some of you send me text messages and you call me every once in a while. I thank you for it. And God is going to bless you. I thank the Lord for the family here. I have a bunch of nieces and nephews and little kids, and they're coming here. You guys take them in and you love on them. I thank you for that. The Lord is going to bless you. Malachi chapter 1, verse 11. It says, for from the rising of the sun, even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentile, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. I was sitting in Pastor Sapp's class and he read this very scripture. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be great among us today. Lord God, we need you to be great. We need you to be mighty. We need you to be wonderful. We need you to be our everlasting Father and our Prince of Peace. We need your help today, Lord God. And we pray, Father, that your word would go forth.
Oh Lord Jesus, that someone today would walk out with an ounce of understanding that could revolutionize their lives. Father, we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Would you have your way? In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord. For from the rising of the sun even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentile, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord. The word great means to be large in quantity. It means to be high in degree and in status. It means to be mighty. It means to be feared exceedingly. The name of God, as Israel knew it, it was Yahweh. I am that I am. It occurs most frequently in Scripture. 6,823 times. The name that God identified himself to Moses as. It was quite popular. It was used as a prefix to what God did. We can remember Yahweh Jireh, Yahweh Rapha, Yahweh Raha. It was used as a name of God's provision, of God's salvation. That name, though popular, was maintained reverent. That name, though popular, was maintained in high regards. It was yet exclusive, although it was popular. So high was the name of God held in esteem that the Masoretes, when they were scribing the scripture, they did not want to repeat the name so many times, and they used the word Lord. They used the word Adonai and Elohim because they did not want to take the chance of calling on that name casually. According to the Jewish encyclopedia, to make mention of Yahweh's name was to assert confidence in that name and the strength that the name has behind it. To make mention of that name was to excite certain emotions in them. It was emotions of joy, emotions of love, emotions of praise, emotions of worship. That name was connected to the altar, and it was connected to the sanctuary. As a matter of fact, God said, I would find a place where I would place my name there. Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. To a devout Jew, God's name represents or conceptualizes the divine nature or character of God. It represents deity as it's known to the worshipers. The name of God was not just an other name, but it was like a weapon. Solomon, when he prayed, he says, that place where you choose to put your name there, if anyone, anywhere, begin to turn around and begin to call on that name where your name is, no matter what the situation is, what I'm saying is, I want your name to make its way into the situation and begin to turn it around. Hallelujah. In the book of Psalms 86, verses 1 through 8, it says, there is no one like thee among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like unto thine. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and they shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous deeds. Psalms 8 says, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all of the earth." Psalms 148 says, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent." Psalm 113:3 says, "From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised." Somebody praise him just for a moment. Hallelujah.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the access to your mighty name.
1 Samuel 2 says, "There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one beside you, nor is there any rock like our God." Jeremiah 10:6 says, "No one is like you, Lord. You are great, and your name is mighty in power." It's loaded in power. Your name is loaded. You are great, and your name is like a missile that's loaded. It's like a warhead. It's mighty in power.
Thank you, Jesus. What a mighty God.
Hallelujah. I'm going to talk to you today a little bit on this title. If his name is not great, his name is not great. The backdrop of this story denotes an absence of power, an absence of presence that resulted from a sense of irreverence. It resulted from a sense of God being coming. There was an absence of the glory. There was an absence of victory because his name was no longer excellent. His name was no longer high in Israel. So God says in Malachi, "This place that I'm living in is not suitable for me, so I'm going to find myself a place where my name is going to be great from the rising of the sun." So God packed up his stuff and he began to move out. He says, "I'm moving out." God says, "I am moving out. I gotta go and find myself a place where my name was going to be powerful, where my name was going to be excellent." God was living in the midst of a generation that had inherited a tasteless, joyless, peaceless, hopeless, powerless religion. And he says, "You know what? I'm getting out of here." Now, God moving was never something new. God was in the life of Saul. He was strong in the life of Saul. And then God began to be something in the midst of Saul's accessory, and God says, no, you don't understand, I'm moving out. He says, "I'm gonna find myself a man, I'm gonna find a man after my own heart, and I'm gonna move. I know he's not a king yet, but when I move in, he's gonna become a king. I know he's not great yet, but my name is great, and when I move in, I'm gonna move him." God says, "I'm going to move." So God moved from Saul to David. But the name of God was not taken from Saul. Saul still had a mental understanding of what the name is. Saul still can say Yahweh. Right? And Saul stood against the Philistines' army. Saul knew the name. The soldiers knew the name. And they're shaking in their armor because the name had no power in their house. The name had no power. The name had no strength. The name had no authority because the name, the strength of the name already moved out. The only thing that's left there was the imprint, the mental knowledge that Jesus is Lord, the mental knowledge that Jesus is all powerful, but Jesus was not powerful. Then came the little one, the shepherd. He had the very same name. The very same name that Saul knew mentally. And then he took that name like a rocket. He said, you come against me with spears, and you come against me with all kind of shield, but he says, watch this, I come against you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I come against you in the name of the Lord. Come on, somebody, give me a target. Come on, somebody, give me a target. I come against you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a cultural God, and then there's a personal sanctified God. In the midst of a crowd, when everything is going well, the cultural God can work for you. When there's food in the fridge, nice car sitting in the garage, kids are doing well, health in the house, everything is going well. That's what happened to Saul, because everything was going well. And God began to move from being excellent. And he began to find himself in the midst of Saul's possession. God was not excellent anymore. But there came a time when Saul wanted God to be excellent. And if God is going to be excellent, he cannot be a cultural God. God has to become sanctified in somebody's life. He has to become greater. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a church culture God.
Talk to us, will you, preacher? Help us.
It's the culture when the person that's sacrificing, they're praying, they're fasting, and everybody's hungry. And Jesus says, what do we have? And the person says, I only have two pieces of bread or whatever, three pieces, whatever it was. I only have some five loaves and two fish. And Jesus says, give it to me and I'm going to put my name in it and I'm going to transform it. Everybody ate. Everybody ate. The anointing touched everybody. It was like a blanket, but you had no idea where it came from. You had no idea who was sacrificing. You have no idea who was praying. You had no idea who was fasting. You're just enjoying the blanket of the bread, the blanket of the fish. But let me tell you something. There's going to be a junction in your life where you're going to have to know where it's coming from. You're going to find yourself in a situation in your life where Jesus cannot be one amongst the stuff. See, when Rachel took the gods of her father. The gods were among the stuff. God cannot be found among the stuff and be powerful. God cannot be found amongst the stuff and be powerful. God cannot be in the excitement that you have about the next iPhone, the Pokemon, or whatever it is that it is. If God is finding himself in that mix, there is something wrong with that. Because the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, he says, sanctify the Lord in your heart. He says, sanctify the Lord in your heart. What is saying is, there's all kinds of stuff that's going on in our lives. You know, you got the job and you got the kids and you got the family and you have the kids practice the soccer, the basketball, or the baseball, and you have the bills, you have the house, and you have all these things, and we all know that stuff because we got them. And all these things are taking space in our lives. But Apostle Peter said, I understand all these things. He says, but I want you to do me a favor. Take God and set him out of those things in your heart. Because when you need him, he will have no strength in the middle of the stuff. When you need him to be a God, when you need him to be the Lord, he will not be able to be Lord if he is in the midst of your stuff, because he's weighing as much as everything. What he is saying is, you have all your stuff over here, but when you set God on the scale, make sure he tips everything over. When you set him on this, oh hallelujah, when you put him on that scale, make sure everything tips over, everything falls to the ground, and the only one that's higher and exalted, hallelujah, the only thing that's higher and exalted is the name of the Lord. Sanctify the Lord in your heart. Sanctify the Lord in your heart. Sanctify the Lord. Sometimes, you know, we say the name so much. His name is like a superstar's name in our living room. He's like, you know, it's like, what do you call it, Bieber or something like that? His name is in the same sentence as Justin Bieber, same level of importance. I mean, he's just one of the stuff we got around here in the house. There's no, the word sanctification means to set him apart. Not in your mind, in your heart. In your spirit, make him really, really big. Make him really, really high. Make him, because the bigger you make him, he becomes a bigger warhead. So that when you have a target, because the Israelite, when they called that name, there was an immediacy. Because they understand, when I call that name, what I'm doing is putting that rocket on my shoulder. And the moment I say Jesus, every power that's behind him is released into the situation. Yes. When God is in the midst of our stuff, we worship situations and difficulties. We worship the sickness. Because when the sickness comes, there's this level of fear that come upon us that says, I have no strength, I have no help against the sickness. As a matter of fact, I think I'm going to die. Yeah. What I'm doing is, God is somewhere in the mix, but right now the sickness is the only strong thing that's going on. And I'm like, sickness, you are great. Sickness, you are so big, I don't think I'm going to make it. I have no strength against you. And when the financial crisis comes, we bow again. Financial crisis, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to buy this car. I don't know what I'm going to eat. And then when the husband walks away, we begin to kneel down one more time. Oh, I don't know what's going to happen. Because what's going to happen? Well, what happens is every time a new problem comes in, it becomes the new God. Because God is not high and lifted up. God is not high and exalted. But I understand it's very difficult when God's name is so popular for him to not maintain his excellency. His name was to be used with a target. That's why in the Exodus 20, he says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain." He says, don't use that name if you are not shooting at something. Don't use that name if you're not bowing down before it. Don't use that name if you're not taking a posture that makes him excellent. He says, do not use that name in vain, because that name got so much power. If I keep calling Jesus and he's turning around ready to war and I do nothing with it, I was just cursing or I was just playing. And what happens is the next time I call on that name, Jesus is not turning around ready to war. When I call that name, the angels they're set in array and they're getting ready to get their order, and I was just playing. I was just having a good time. Sometimes Russo would stay upstairs and he'll call my wife, and I say, "Baby, don't answer." I says, "If Russo needs you, Russo will walk out and he'll come down and he'll tell you what he needs to tell you. You're not going to strain your ear to hear what Russo is trying to say." Right. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's authority. Right. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. Somebody's being set in their rightful place. The Bible says, let everyone that call on a name depart from iniquity. You don't understand. That name got power attached to it. If I'm serving a cultural God, I'm going to come against situations. I say, "Oh yeah, I adjure you in the name of the God that Brother Sapp is serving, that Pastor Carl is serving," because when I'm in that congregation, I promise you, I feel the anointing. But I'm going to tell somebody, you don't know how anointed you are until you start walking in the valley of the shadow of death. You don't know how much God you have until you start walking in the valley of the shadow of death. You don't know how much of God is working in you until you are walking in the valley of the shadow of death. Ephesians 3 and 20 says, God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works in God. Is that what it says? Says the only power God has is the power that's working in you. That's the only power that God has in your life. It's the power that's working in you. The only authority that God has in your life is the authority that's working in you. And I am asking somebody, if you need God to be great, God has to be great in your life. If you need God to be mighty, God has to become mighty in your life.
Hallelujah.
Exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works in us. The scripture says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. That means when something comes against me, that name is like a tower. That name is not just a name in my conversation. That name is like a house, a bomb shelter. When I say Jesus, I activate a bomb. Somebody begin to call on that name and activate a bomb shelter. Somebody call on that name and begin to detonate some hellhead. Somebody call on that name and begin to send out some warheads. When I call on that name, oh. Bible says God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in time of need, of trouble. He says, therefore, I will not be afraid. The only way you will be free from your fears is when that name is lifted high. You know what I'm saying? The only way for that name to be high is for you to be low. The only way for God. John the Baptist had a revelation. He said, I must decrease. So he must increase. My pride must begin to go low. When I hear that name, I must make a decision. The Bible says, at the sound of that name, every knee shall bow. When I hear that name, like the Jews of old, there's got to be an emotion rising up in me and says, come on, somebody. How great is the name of the Lord? How wonderful. Oh, my God. How excellent is thy name in all of the earth? There's got to be something that's telling me this is a great name. And right now, it's not time for me to parade myself. Right now, it's not time for me to lift up myself. When I hear that name, when the singer begin to sing that name, it's not time for me to begin to receive attention. It's time for me to begin to decrease and for him to begin to increase. When the singer says, lift up your hand, it's not time for me to begin to say, well, I don't feel like doing it, but it's time to say, he's so great, I'm gonna do it with every ounce of me. I will praise him. I'm almost done. We got to let his name begin to ascend. Jesus sat at Simon's house. Simon was a leper. In the room, there were the disciples. There were Simon's friends. And Jesus was invited for dinner. On the table, Jesus was a carpenter. On the table, he was a blasphemer. On the table, he was just a buddy. He was walking with the apostles, and like somebody said, maybe they said, you know, just take a seat and sit down. Just sit down. Come on, have a seat, buddy. And everybody began to have their conversation. Simon has leprosy. He's a Pharisee. His friends are saying, you know what? I don't know about this guy. I think he's a blasphemer. I don't know. I mean, the opinions are many out there. He's a cultural extravaganza, but we don't know about him. And then one person walked in. Actually, she didn't walk in. She crawled in. And then Jesus began to ascend. The guy that was sitting on the chair began to ascend. And he began to ascend. He began to go through the stars. He went through the clouds. And all of a sudden, he is the Lord of Lords, sitting on the throne of glory. Hallelujah. In every place, incense. And so she brought her incense, and she broke that thing, and she said, you are God. You are King. You are Lord of Lords. For everyone else, he was a carpenter. For everyone else, he was just a buddy. But this lady says, no. He's none of this. What he is the King of glory. What he is the Lord of lords. What he is the mighty God. What he is the everlasting Father. What he is the Prince of Peace. At the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. In the same place, he was a king. Mm-hmm. And in the same place, he was a blasphemer. With the same name, he was the King of Kings. With the same name, he was a carpenter. To the religious folks, he was just a buddy. He's just a buddy, you know. He walks around with us, and you know, we eat together. So the lady made him king, and the religious person said, "Come on now, come on, is that necessary? What's wrong with you? It's because you're new in church. That's why you got all this excitement. It's because you don't know him yet." That's why you have all this excitement working in you. It's not necessary. He's like one of us. Won't you do some good deeds with your money and get a great name for yourself? It's not necessary. You know what's funny? The Bible never said that Simon was healed of his leprosy because he was not a healer. For Simon, he's only as great as he is to you. He is only as great as he is to you. A king has to be enthroned. If he's not enthroned, he's a dictator. And God is not a dictator. He says, no, I'll stand at the door and I will knock. But what if I looked at Jesus as a healer? And when I call that name, I'm not just calling a mental name like if I call Felder or Jim Kelly. What I'm calling is a powerhouse. What I'm doing is releasing a warhead. What I'm doing is releasing a missile. He says, don't call it in vain. Have a target. He says, before you call my name, have a target. Unless you want to praise me. If you want to burn incense to me, go ahead. But don't just be calling on my name like that. If you're going to call me over a sickness, I'm ready. If you're going to call me over a situation that you are going through, I am a powerhouse. I am a life-size powerhouse. The same Jesus that was a carpenter became a king. I'm about done. He was making his way to Jerusalem. And the people got a hold of something. They said, the king is coming. He's making his way. And what they begin to say is, make a way for the king. Amen. Jesse, when you're singing that song, what you are saying is, people, make a way for the king. Because wherever two or three are gathered in his name, make a way for the king. How do you make a way for a king? How do you make a way for a king? If the king is something in the midst of the stuff, you are not going to make a way. If the king is just another name, you are not going to make a way. So on the sidelines stood people that were not making a way, but in the midst of the street, there were people that were making a way. Behold Zion, your king is coming. Oh, he is lowly. He's riding on a donkey. And the people said, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. And they begin to lay down. Come on, somebody. Hosanna. They begin to lay down. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. 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 Oh, somebody. Oh, somebody. I'm going to make a statement here. It may cut you the wrong way. The king has no power to save you if he has no power to rule in your life. I'm going to say that once again. Whether you baptize in Jesus' name and you have received the Holy Ghost and you said you have repented, I'm just going to make the statement one more time. Jesus has no power to save you, to take you from this world and raise you from the dead. If he has no power over your career, if he has no power over your dreams, if he has no power over your children, if he has no power over your profession, your paycheck, he has no power to save you. Because saving you requires greater power than it requires to take care of your situation. Let us stand together. Now, we are human beings. We struggle with daily things. It's a constant effort to exalt God. The Bible says incense are going to be burned. That means somebody has to leave where they are, go in the garden, and begin to look for roots. They begin to dig up. They find this one root. And then they go over there. Maybe there's, this is just one root. I got to go somewhere else because this root is not here. And I got to dig this one up. Maybe they have to take some flowers, go in the field and then they pick some flowers. And then they have to sit down and begin to mix things together and grind things together. And God says, I'm looking for a place where people are doing that. He says, where people are going out of their way, out of their difficult situation, and then begin to raise a throne. They build a throne in the midst of their sickness. They acknowledge me as being greater, so they're building a throne. In the midst of the kids going wild, they said, I'm going to build a throne. In the presence of them losing family members, they said, I'm going to build a throne. I'm going to make a memorial. Because the more I keep building, this memorial is getting bigger. Peter could not understand. The Jews could not understand why God would be making his way to Cornelius. What's wrong with this picture? Cornelius was building a memorial. He said, I understand I'm a Gentile, but I'm going to build a throne. And then the throne began to ascend. And then the throne. And God says, okay, I'm big enough in his life to save him. I'm going to walk out of my, I'm going to move. God said, I'm moving. I'm moving. Peter, I understand you don't understand this, but I'm going to make a strange move. I'm going to move out of your custom. I'm going to move out of your religion. I wonder where God is moving right now that we are not aware of. The apostle couldn't understand it, but God was moving. Where was he moving? A place where his name was going to be great. I'm going to ask you to come forward. If you have something going on in your life, I'm going to ask you to come forward. If there's a situation that you've been worshiping, you've been bowing down, not physically, but just mentally and spiritually, you've been elevating it above the name. I'm going to ask you today to begin to take a stand. Take a warrior stand. And we're going to call on that name. Don't call on the name in vain. You're going to call on that name as a person targeting something. You're going to say to yourself, I am tired of living in the anointing of the crowd, not knowing where the power is coming from. I'm gonna aim at something. The first thing we're gonna do is begin to lift up that name. The Bible says he has a name that is above every name. At the sound of the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. The Bible says he is the stone that was rejected by the builders and he has become the head of the corner. The Bible says that in him there is all preeminence. The Bible says he is the only potentate, the only one with all power. I see somebody reaching out already. What I'm going to do is I'm going to decrease myself and I'm going to begin to lift up that name. This is not one of the services where you just cry and you go home and you feel good. What's happening is an exchange of position. You are exchanging your position and you making God deity. You making Jesus Christ the Lord of Lords. You making Jesus Christ the King of Kings because you're gonna need him to be King of Kings. You're gonna need him to save you. He cannot save you being just one in the middle of the stuff. What you're doing is breaking that precious bottle that you have for years, that you have worshiped as your own protection, as your own provision, and you are coming in the midst of a situation where he's not God. You're walking in the midst of the living room. You are walking in the midst of the living room where he's not God. And all of a sudden you said, I know he's not God in this living room, but I want to make him God. You're walking in like that woman. You said, I know he's a carpenter right now. I know he's just a buddy right now. But in my own situation, I want him to be king. He can't help me when he's a carpenter. He cannot help me when he's just my buddy. He cannot help me when he's just a friend. I want him to be more than a carpenter. I want him to be more than a buddy. I want him to be more than just a friend. I want him to be King of Glory. Somebody's saying, if he's just a carpenter, he can't help me. If he's just a buddy, he can't help me. If he's just a friend, he can't heal me. just my acquaintance. He cannot help me, but he has to become king. If I'm going to be healed, he has to be king. If I'm going to be healed, he has to be the healer. If I'm going to be set free, he has to be the deliverer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody. Somebody. If Jesus is ever going to be strong enough for your situation, you have to lift him up high enough where he's greater than the situation. He's got to begin to occupy my mind more than the next game. He's going to begin to occupy my thoughts more than the next job, more than the next career, more than the next opportunity. To make him so much bigger than he is, so much stronger than he is, so much more powerful than he is. You have the strength to make him bigger. Come on, lift him higher. Somebody lift him higher. Lift him higher. He will not be strong enough. He will not be strong enough. He will not be smart enough if he's not strong enough. We are in a situation where healing can happen. Hallelujah. There is opportunity for healing. There is opportunity for deliverance. There is opportunity for everything that you need, because our God is big enough. All we gotta do is magnify him a little bit higher. Magnify him a little bit stronger over our situation.
There is something about that name, Master, Savior, Jesus, like a fragrance after the rain. Somebody help me to sing Jesus. 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 Let all heaven.
Let all heaven.
Hallelujah. Proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away. Somebody sing that song one more time. Hallelujah. God is great. God is great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's great enough to fill you with his spirit. He's powerful enough to heal you. There is nothing too difficult for him. If you begin to seek him a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, a little bit more powerful, come on, somebody. Allow God to be great. Allow God to be powerful. Allow God, hallelujah, to strengthen himself in your situation.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's becoming great. He's becoming greater. He's becoming great. He's becoming greater. He's becoming greater. He is becoming greater. He is becoming greater. Oh, how great is Jesus. How great is Jesus. Somebody call on that name, Jesus. Come on, somebody, Jesus. 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 Come on, target something. Target something and call on that name. Before you open your mouth and call on that name, put it on a target. Put it on a target and begin to call on it. Put it on a target and begin to call on it. Put a target, set a focus on it and begin to call Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, oh Son of David, Jesus, have mercy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, there's somebody that knows that he's greater than that. There's someone that knows he's greater than that. There's someone looking at a target and they're pointing at it and they're focusing on it and they want to shoot. They want to shoot an arrow. They don't want to call that name in vain. They don't want to call on that name in vain. Somebody want to shoot at an arrow. Somebody want to shoot at an arrow. Oh, somebody want to shoot an arrow at a target. Hallelujah. He's not just a BB gun. He's a warhead. All powerful. All knowing. He's excellent. There is no power like our God. There is no name like his name. There is no glory like his glory. Hallelujah. 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 His name is wonderful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, 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 hallelujah. Come on, somebody, target. Target something. Target something. Target something and release. Target something and release the name. Target something and release the name. Release the powerhouse. Release the warhead. Target something and release. Let it explode the situation. Let it explode in the midst of the situation. Come on, I'm not gonna call on that name in vain, but I'm gonna call on that name with a purpose. Oh, oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I want that name to be faithful. I want that name to be faithful. I gotta be faithful to him. I want that name to be strong. I gotta lift him up. I want that name to be mighty. I gotta decrease. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want that name to save me. I gotta deny myself. Hallelujah. 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 No more good preaching. That name is not for good preaching. That name is not for good preaching. That name is not for good preaching. What that name is to save your soul through the preaching. That name is not for good preaching. It's that arrow that's gonna save your soul and destroy the enemy. Hallelujah. It's the name that has the keys of death and of hell. Hallelujah. I don't want to prostitute that name. Hallelujah. I want to lift up that name. I want to sanctify it. Hallelujah. 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 gotta make him a little bigger. I gotta make him a little stronger. He's stronger than what happened to me. He's bigger than what happened to me. Hallelujah. He's greater than what people do to me. Hallelujah. He can get me through every situation. He can get me through every difficulty. And he will take me to glory. Who have I in heaven but you? There's no one. Hallelujah. There is no one I desire like I desire you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This afternoon is one. It's 10 after one. There's one thing I would like you, if you get nothing else, if you go home with something from this message today, it's the idea that if you would make God great, God would be great. It's not an emotion. It's not an emotion. To make God great doesn't mean that I'm going to cry when I go in prayer. It's just, it's action driven. My action is going to make him bigger. My decisions are going to make him bigger. When I'm making decision, I am sanctifying him. I'm putting him outside of the piles of stuff that are going on in my life. And when I need him to be great, he's gonna already be great because he was already great in my life. But if not, it's gonna be a crisis. Every time you come against something, it's gonna be a crisis. I'm gonna repeat this again. If God is not great, every time you come against something, you're gonna go through a crisis. If God is not great, every time a situation arises in your life, it's gonna be a crisis. But if you can learn to make God great in your life, every situation will become an opportunity for you to shoot your weapon one more time. Every situation will become an opportunity for you to engage that missile that's been sitting there and you've been wiping and you've been cleaning and you've been worshiping. All it gives you is an opportunity to shoot one more time, like a soldier can't wait to utilize that new weapon that they just got. But if he's not that great, every situation is a crisis. Every situation is a crisis. But I believe you don't want it to be that way. I want it to be the other way. Every situation is an opportunity for our God to be glorified, for our God to show off himself. David made a statement. He said, my God broke through on the enemy like the breaking forth of water. David said, look at this. Look how big my God is. Look how great he did it. He broke forth like a levee that just broke open and the enemy was overwhelmed. Praise God. Hallelujah.
We're baptizing Tara in the name of Jesus right now. We're getting her ready, so we're going to have a baptism. Somebody put your hands together for this incredible message today. My Lord. Thank you, Pastor Luma, for this great word of God. If you have never been baptized in Jesus' name, we would love to baptize you in his name today. If you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you'll come out of that water talking in tongues if you'll let us baptize you in this name. God bless you. Greet one another. Love one another. Be kind to one another. Pray for one another and uplift one another.